Welcome to the show. It's called the Family Meeting, where you can say what the hell you want, not get yourself a beating. What happens here stays here, unless it's too damn funny. Our boss is the relative, so we can bribe them for money. You may be offended, you may even cry a tear, because you heard something your kids shouldn't hear. So kick the kids on out, or hell, let them listen in. But don't blame us when they take them away. So let the show begin.
Time for the Family Meeting on NWCZRadio.com.
This is Jason Curtis.
John Curtis.
And Krista Curtis.
We've got... Let me clear my throat.
You could have done that before we said who we are.
Well, I didn't know I was...
We are so professional on this show.
I didn't know I was going to sound like a 12-year-old when I
for like
said my name.
Seconds.
This is John Curtis. The other one will drop eventually, John. We've got S. Arthur Martin with us, a local author is going to be hanging out for the show. We're coming up to this hour. We've got Krista's News. We're going to talk to Mr. Martin, but let's go ahead and kick things off with the Hilliards, and he's walking by on the Family Meeting.
Yeah.
Welcome back to the family meeting. That was the Halyards with He's Walking By. We've got S. Arthur Martin hanging out with us. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And if you catch me calling him Steve, it's because I've known the guy for 17 years. That's what I've always called him. S. Arthur Martin, is that a pen name?
Yeah, it's an author's name to escape from being called Steve Martin.
I can understand that.
Yeah.
That was actually my first question. I was like, where did he get that from? Can he read that from over there? So where did you grow up at? Right around here, I take it, since you've known Jason forever?
Yeah, kind of. I grew up in Olympia, came up here when I was 9, met Jason when I was 15, and yeah, I've been around here ever since.
Oh, it's a nice place to be.
Yeah.
What genres of writing do you prefer to read?
Fantasy, definitely fantasy, sci-fi and fantasy. Junior high, I really got into fantasy stories, epic fantasy, and I never looked back after that.
Do you have any favorite authors or series?
Lots of favorite authors and series. As a younger boy in junior high, reading Margaret Wise and Tracy Hickman, the old Dragonlance novels, they got me through junior high. They taught me I was a fantasy nerd. So George R. R. Martin, very talented author. Of course, Tolkien's Lord of the Rings, all of which were inspirations for me.
So that is what got you into writing?
Yeah, that and just all the fantasy stories we played as, you know, younger men. And
dorky,
you know,
little kids.
Yeah, dorky little kids rolling dice.
What made you want to write a novel of your own?
I'm going to school to be a court reporter, and so I can see this big professional career coming at me like a freight train. And I've always been a really creative person, so I wanted to get that outlet out. I wanted to make sure that even though I'm getting into such a professional career, I don't let go of, you know, this creative person that I am. And I've had these characters and this story in my head for so long that I wanted to take the opportunity now before I lost it.
You better get that out of the way so you're not in the courtroom going, and he pulls out his sword and slays the attorney.
I don't think that's one of the buttons on the stenograph.
Yeah.
Here's a question not related to the book, but what is NaNoWriMo?
NaNoWriMo, it's short for National Novel Writing Month. If you go to NaNoWriMo.org, NaNoWriMo.org.
Is that anything like NAMBLA?
No, it's not. Oh, okay. No, thankfully.
This isn't that kind of show, Jason.
It's run by a nonprofit called the Office of Letters and Light, and they make sure that people have a place to go where they can feel comfortable writing a novel, because a lot of people want to write a novel and it's such an insurmountable goal to them that they keep saying they're gonna do it someday. And NaNoWriMo is a place where everybody in your area is grouped up. You have support from the staff of NaNoWriMo and all the people in your area, and it encourages you to write that novel. You've got 30 days to write 50,000 words, and you know you're doing it with lots of people. It helps you get it done.
So did you have your book done in 30 days?
I had about 57,000 words of it done in 30 days. So I won NaNoWriMo, quote unquote. And the really great thing is they have a lot of sponsors. So when you win NaNoWriMo, you get all kinds of little perks. Like because I wrote the 50,000 in 30 days, I was able to order my proof copy of my book for free from Amazon because they're a partner. And this year, they're offering 5 copies of your book for free if you win it. Or they offered that if you won it. So yeah, I did. I did that. And then I kept writing all through December. About December 8th, I finished the last word of the first draft.
I never would have guessed that book was written in 30 days.
Well,
I don't even think
the first
read
draft
50,
of it was written in 30
words.
Days. I spent months all the way up to June rereading it, rewriting it, revising it, editing it. So it's a really rough copy that was written. And the point of NaNoWriMo isn't to write a masterpiece. It's just to get the story down. And once you've got the story down, you literally have the hard part done. And then it's all about revising.
Some authors are trying to make a point when they write a book, like George Orwell and C.S. Lewis. Did you have a message you were trying to get across or just to write the book?
I think at the beginning, I didn't have a message. I wanted to write fantasy. And I introduced these characters to myself as I was writing. And then as I wrote fantasy, I started realizing there was a constant theme of hope and friendship in the story. And I think you know, and I mentioned George R. R. Martin earlier, and he's a very talented fantasy writer. And his books and a lot of books that are out nowadays are really gritty, dark fantasy. You know, the Middle Ages of our world were dark and gritty and probably a horrible time to live in. And there's that hyper-realism in fantasy. And I think there's room for hope. You know, in Tolkien's stories, there was hope and there was friendship, even though there should have been despair. And by the end of the story, I wanted to impress upon the reader that hope could exist in these stories. So I wrote toward that.
Well, the name of this book that we keep referring to is Hollengard. Is that your first novel?
That is my first, yeah.
Do you have plans for a second?
I do. In fact, I did NaNoWriMo again last year. Hollengard was written in 2010. 2011, I did NaNoWriMo again, and I wrote the sequel, and it's finished. The really rough first draft is finished, and I'm going to start revising it for a summer release.
Oh, on your website, it mentions something called Shayla's Bones. Is that the sequel?
Shayla's Bones is another project, actually. I started writing a companion book to Hollengard that takes place at the same time and follows a different set of characters. The sequel's called Half of Forever, which is a line from the book that I'm hoping readers will recall as they start reading the new book. And Shiloh's Bones is kind of on the back burner for that, because I wasn't sure at first if I wanted to write a direct sequel. And once I started writing it, I got really excited about the story.
That's really kind of all I have. The book, again, is called Hollengard. It's on Amazon. It's also available for the Kindle. For all you Kindle people, there's a lot of Kindles out there.
Yeah, it, you know, Kindle Prime users, they just added this thing called the Lending Library. So if you're a Prime user, you can check the book out as if checking it out from a library doesn't cost you a thing. And the writers of those books that you lend through Amazon Prime get a cut of a pool of
I wondered
cash.
How that worked, because I wondered, like, when they're letting you use books for free, somebody's got to be making money off it.
Yeah. Amazon
somebody's
has
always
a
making
pool of
money
cash.
Somewhere.
Yeah. In the book, it was a sci-fi book. I read it. Obviously, I said that already. But I'm not really that into sci-fi stuff, but it was a good story, too, because you could follow the characters through it, and I really enjoyed it.
Thank you.
So I do recommend it to all you people out there to read it.
I
believe Steve brought us a copy.
I did.
That we're going to be giving away. We just got to figure out how we're going to give that away. And is there any plans of putting it into like brick and mortar stores, even though they're all collapsing?
That's a little harder to do. It is signed up through Barnes & Noble, but they offer it through their website, and it would take a certain amount of ordering it for them to actually order copies for the brick and mortar store. I am planning a series of appearances at brick and mortar stores with my own copies this year.
Make sure you let us know, and we'll pimp that for you as well.
I will.
And are you going to hang around for the entire show?
Yeah, I'd love to hang around.
We do have 10 more questions. We have our hot seat questions for you that we ask everyone. Not the same questions, obviously.
Okay.
Since you're a grown adult, you do not get a safe word.
Yes.
We only offer that to children. So these aren't too bad, though.
And I would like to mention that kid's mom will not even make eye contact with me. I ran into her at Five Guys. I started to wave, and she just turned around and walked away.
That's what you think. That's just her excuse.
We almost have to give him a safe word. I mean, the kid was sitting there, and his dad was right next to him. It's not like...
Yeah, and we were asking questions that could have gotten him in a whole lot of trouble.
How old was this kid?
14.
Or 14. Oh. And,
Steve's face, he can't believe that anybody let their 14-year-old be on the show.
Is this where I tell all the court reporter... cohorts of mine that this is where they should stop listening.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Right about now.
Okay. True. Most people have stopped listening by now anyways, Steve.
Okay, so on to the quick questions here. What was the last book you read?
Half of Forever, I guess.
And the last movie you saw?
Oh, boy. I don't even remember when I saw a movie. I'm a college student. I'm not allowed to go see movies. I don't have the money for it.
Not necessarily at the theater, just any movie.
Any movie? Oh, you know what? I saw for the first time There Will Be Blood just a couple days ago.
And what's your favorite band?
Favorite band right now?
Yeah.
Favorite band of all time, Collective Soul. They haven't written anything for a long time. I'm really liking Mumford & Sons.
Peanut butter and jelly or peanut butter and chocolate?
Peanut butter and chocolate.
Have you ever eaten a crayon?
I have not eaten a crayon.
How about hot sauce? Do you like it?
I like Cholula sauce. Yeah, hot sauce.
Do you need to do laundry?
Of course I do. What?
Apparently Becca thinks your clothes smell.
I think she's trying to tell you something, Steve.
Pancakes or waffles?
These questions are going down like this. These questions are going down like this weird road. Yeah. And they started off fine. The third question took like a slight right. The second question was like, oh, there's a tree in the way. Dip left. And we're
everyone
going down,
out there, I got these from Becca.
We're going down a dirt road
See,
right now. Who knows?
I always
where we're
throw that
up.
Out there, and you guys look at me like, why are you throwing your wife under the bus?
Oh, when you read them, we know why. pancakes or waffles?
Waffles.
Do you ride motorcycles?
Waffles. Do I what?
Ride motorcycles?
I do not.
Okay, do mice ride motorcycles?
Because that makes sense.
No.
She corrected me, so I thought maybe there was something to that. I don't know.
Not to my knowledge.
Like the littles?
Are you a pepper?
Am I a what?
A pepper.
No.
Is she a pepper?
Okay, we just hit the end of the road. Like, this is where the navigation told you to take right, and you're driving off a boat dock into a lake.
No, John, that's actually what this says.
Recalculating.
Recalculating route. Can we get back on track?
And then the last part of this is, does everyone want to be a pepper?
What the fuck does a pepper have to do with anything? Did anybody proofread any of these questions?
I read them, and she was really excited about the end, so I thought it meant something.
Steve, do you know what this whole pepper thing means?
You guys know I'm an author, right?
Not a comedian?
I have no idea.
Well, I don't know what the pepper thing means. I thought it
he's
was...
His favorite drink is Dr. Pepper. So Becca thought it would be funny to throw in the, I'm a pepper, you're a pepper, everybody wants to be a pepper, Dr. Pepper.
I didn't know that was her slogan.
What does that have to do with Dr. Pepper besides being pepper?
Well, Becca, I got to say, when Chris was gone, you wrote a funny joke, but your material is going downhill quickly after that.
All right. Let's try and right this ship and get back on track. We're going to get back into the music with the hard count and give my regards to the world right here on the family meeting on NWCZradio.com.
Goodbye to my friends.
Welcome back to the family meeting. That was the hard count with Give My Regards to the World.
Oh, sorry. I'm just trying to get over. We just had a nice little conversation about glory holes during that during that song.
Welcome back from under that bus, by the way, Becca.
Oh, so yeah. So this week, I started school again. And so I've been doing that a lot. I have a funny little story from school. On Saturday, I went to school, and I went from 9 o'clock to noon. Now, I'm sure you guys all have jobs, and 9 o'clock don't sound that early. But 9 o'clock is early to me, damn it.
It's almost lunchtime by the time 9 rolls around.
As it should surprise everyone, John set up a schedule so that that's the only day he has to get up in the a.m. hours.
Me and my buddy get to this class, and he looks at me, and like, he only signed up for that class because we have all our classes together, and he was like, okay, I'll take that 9 o'clock class, even though I don't want to. And he gets there, and he just looked at me and goes, I hate this 9 o'clock class. I hadn't even started yet. We just, first time we got there. And so I'm yawning because I'm tired. And like this little tiny burp comes out. Like I didn't even really know if like I made sounds. And this girl sits in front of me. She turns around and she goes, excuse you. And I was like, like I was still yawning. She didn't even give me time to like say anything. And I go, oh, well, thank you. That's very nice of you. And she turns around and her hand hits her Starbucks coffee and it goes all over her table.
That's what she gets for being a bitch.
Yeah, exactly. She goes, I guess that's what she turns around and goes, I guess that's what I get for mocking you. I go, that's right, bitch. That's what you get. Go get some paper towels and clean that shit up.
So are you telling us that you made a new friend this week?
Yeah, I didn't make a new friend. She ain't listening tonight, tell you that much. we also got a new dog at me and Chris's house here. It has a little one-eyed dog. We named it Willie. It's a little one-eyed Willie. And he got fixed before he came home. And so he had that little cone on. This is a little tiny dog. Was it a chug?
Yes. So it's an 8-pound dog.
Half 8-pound dog. Half yes. Chihuahua, half pug. And so
it has a real nose, though. It doesn't have a pug nose.
Yes, that is the first thing you guys always point out. It has a real nose. It's not like one of those crushed face dogs.
And it doesn't just sit there and go at you the whole time. It breathes right, and it's a little cute thing. But it has this cone on, and so we put it outside for it to go to the bathroom. No, this is what happened. What happened was, I was sitting there, and I look over, and this dog is looking at me pissed on the floor. So I pick him up. I throw him out the back door. I close it. I'm sitting here cleaning up this piss. I clean the piss up. I resolve it. I do all that. I bring the dog in, and the dog's been running around, but he's so low to the ground that his little cone is full of dirt. And I mean, it's
like a shovel.
Yes, it's like a cup full of dirt. And the dog hates me because I always put his cone on him. Every time I leave, I have to put him in his kennel. So the dog thinks every time I touch him, he's going to, like, some bad shit's going down. And so, like, I told him to come here, and he turned around and ran. So now he has this cone full of dirt running through the house. And I'm chasing this little bastard dog around, and there's dirt flying everywhere. I just cleaned up his piss, and now I'm chasing this little bastard-ass dog around. Oh, I was mad. Oh, when I caught that dog, I didn't do
You're
anything
make
with poor little
parent.
Puppy. But, oh, God. I was pissed. God, it was so, I just looked at him like, all you had to do was just sit there. I would have picked you up, cleaned your cone off.
You're still shaking. I'm just talking about it now. You're still pissed.
This was like a 20-minute ordeal that went down. It was not just a short little thing. We were going to my parents' house to watch the Patriots game on Saturday. And a couple days earlier, me and Erin were at her house, and I look on top of her fridge, and there's these, there's like these, I don't want to say cups, they're bigger than cups. It's a alcoholic slushy mix container maker. I don't think that's what it says on it.
I'm pretty sure that's not what it says on anything.
but damn it, that's what it is. And so,
like a mixing cup or something?
No, it's big. It's like it holds
like a margarita maker.
Like a pitcher?
It's like a pitcher. It's like a half pitcher, and there's directions on it. We didn't follow the directions. We went to the store.
You made a drink and didn't follow the directions? You must be kidding.
Yes, but this time it really screwed us over, and so we went to the store, got a bottle of rum, we came back, and we went to make this thing, and it's. It says to put in, I think it said to put in like 6 ounces of alcohol and like 3 cups of water. And we just didn't think that was a good mixture. Right? Especially, you know me, I ain't mixing no drink like that.
So you flipped them, didn't you?
We flipped them, exactly. That's exactly what we did. You're a smart man. And obviously, I mean, we're both college students, but obviously we didn't... we didn't get straight A's in chemistry because this thing is supposed to turn into a slushy, right? Well, obviously, there's not enough water. That's why the directions were there, so that it would freeze and turn into a slushy. So this, it says within 8 to 10 hours, this thing will be a slushy.
And John, when you were 14, you knew alcohol doesn't freeze.
No,
did you think it was going to turn into a slushy?
And you,
it wouldn't happen a second time. It'll work this time. I mean it.
So it's been in the freezer for about 36 hours, still pure liquid. And
so are you just going to make a gigantic batch and add a whole bunch of water now?
It was a mojito. I'm guessing that we will just pour it into cups and add some Sprite and drink it like that.
Sprizite.
Sprizite and the kids up. Yeah. So that's that was the highlights of my week. Screwing up. I mean, we seriously put almost a whole fifth of liquor in this thing. It's there's probably like 2 inches on the bottom of that.
Well, luckily you don't buy expensive liquor.
When we found it was Bacardi Silver.
What?
Yes. A whole $14 worth.
Holy smokes. So, yeah,
I realized.
Must have been payday.
I realized what we did, like, after we did it, but we hadn't put it in the freezer yet. I realized what we did, and that it wasn't going to freeze.
And so was that hour 24 or 25?
So we topped it up. No, it was, like, right before we even put it in the freezer, right when we dug out to make it. So we put, like, we put more water in there, just trying to get to the very top, trying to hope that would create some sort of slush, but negative. It is pure liquid. But it is going to be a strong one.
I don't doubt that.
It's going to be a good drink.
If it's not, you'll just pour some more rum in.
I am so
remix
glad.
It.
So glad I'm not going to be around when that gets downed, because John is going to be on his lips.
Oh, yeah, right. It wasn't 151. It was a bottle of Bacardi Silver. Shoot, you could drink one of them.
I kind of doubt that.
I spent my week trying to keep the 60-pound dog and the 8-pound dog from fighting. Because the 60-pound dog, although she's 60 pounds, is pretty much a wuss. And that little dog with a cone on really freaked her out.
Well, I can imagine with the dirt flying all over the place.
Well, he kept running up because he wanted to play. He's only 4 months old, so he's a real puppy. You know, he wants to play. So he kept running up and, like, jabbing her in the back of the legs with his cone and stuff, just like he does to people. But we just, like, brush him aside. But she didn't like that.
Yeah, the 60-pound dog, she doesn't even like it when people have hats on. If you have a hood on, oh, it's over. And this dog walks up and has a cone on his head. Oh, she did not like it at all.
But now we can take the cone off him, and so she'll chase him up and down the hallway, and they'll play and stuff. So I think that I'm done being referee, hopefully.
But you bought them both chew toys, the same one where the Kong, where you put like the disc of chicken or beef or whatever, that disc of fake meat that they chew on, that rawhide.
Yes, yeah, a treat.
So you bought a big one for the big dog, a little tiny one for the little dog, and when you put them down, they each tried to take each other's treat. This big dog is trying to eat a treat that's the size of his entire body, and Bailey has this thing that she could swallow whole. And finally, Krista separates them, so they got their own treats, and Bailey's laying like under the computer desk, and that little dog comes up, and all I heard was like Bailey telling his dog, "I'm going to eat your little ass if you don't get away from my treat." I looked down, and there was fur sticking up on her back, and she was wild up and ready to go. Like, this little tiny-ass dog was going to eat that thing.
So she's a puss until food's involved.
Oh, if that dog would have made any move toward her, she would have backed down and ran and went outside.
She's a puss all the time. Definitely not a guard dog. But I was watching TV, flipping through channels. Not that I intentionally watch E! True Hollywood Stories all the time, but there was one on, and it was about Casey Anthony, and it really made me wonder how far Hollywood goes, because it's the true Hollywood story, and Casey Anthony is not really a star, and she lived in Florida. So how did she make the true Hollywood story?
Maybe it was Hollywood, Florida.
Who was it?
Oh, for
crying
out loud.
Don't do this shit again, John.
Pick up a goddamn newspaper.
She is the number one most hated person of 2011.
Was she a televangelist? Did she?
No.
She was accused of killing her child and walked.
Oh.
I can't believe you don't know this.
I don't.
Unless it's on SportsCenter.
Or Tosh.0. John
Tosh.
Has no idea.
John has no clue what's going on in this world.
If John Stewart talked about it, I might know what's going on.
I'm sure even John Stewart talked about it many, many times.
But to let you guys know, I have seen about a total of about, a lot. I'd say maybe 45 minutes to like an hour and 15 of news in the last 2 weeks or so.
that's like 45 times what you saw in the year before that.
I was going to say since he was like 15.
I think I hate the news so much because every time when I used to come home from school, mom and dad would sit down and they would watch the 4 o'clock news, the 5 o'clock news, the 6 o'clock news, the 7 o'clock news, the 10 o'clock news, the 11 o'clock. It's all the same news.
They were watching that to bore you so that you'd leave the room and they could get some time away.
Nothing ever changed.
Like, this kid will just not go away.
But the other day I came home from work and John told me about news that I didn't know about when there was all that, the cop shot somebody up in Federal
Way.
Yeah,
but that's only because it was on me. Like, I was like, these cops drove past the back of our house, you know, like 30 feet from our back fence on 320th going like, I don't know, 80, 90 miles an hour for like 10 minutes. Every single police car in Federal Way, every ambulance, fire truck. And that's when that cop shot that dude in his car outside the Starbucks. Did you guys hear about that?
Actually, I don't watch.
Oh my gosh, Jason, you should have not even admitted that at least.
Breaking news. Jason, you don't watch the news?
I don't watch the news. That shit bores me. But I keep up on current events a little bit. It's just some news stories slip past me.
Well, don't worry. Everyone out there, you can hear the important ones here on this show.
That's right. And that's coming up in a few minutes.
That's about all I did.
Okay. I didn't really do much this week because I spent $2,000 on my car this week, so I was kind of broke, so I just kind of hung around the house.
Should have taken your $2,000 car somewhere.
Hey, you know, if you want to spend another $2,000 on a car, I got one you could look at.
On Friday night, we went down to Cafe Aroma in Shoreline and watched Seattle Acoustic Music. It's a club that gets together, and they have these little get-togethers, and they play acoustic music, and there was actually some pretty good music going on there. On Saturday, I also went over to Mom and Dad's and watched the Patriots game with you guys, and we were leaving our house, and it started snowing at our place at about 11 o'clock on Saturday, and there might have been 1.5 to 2 inches of snow on the ground, and people lost their goddamn minds. I'm pulling out of my driveway, and there's a pretty big hill. When you come out of my driveway, I come up over the hill and there's some jackass in the middle of the hill just at a stop sliding backwards. And he's a pizza delivery guy. And he slides all the way back down the hill. I go down the hill nice and slow. I drive past him and I take a left when I get to the main road. And there's a guy in the ditch with a cop car behind him, got the entire road blocked off. So I flip a bitch and I start heading the other direction. That freaking pizza guy is stuck on the hill heading out the other direction. So I have to flip another bitch and take a back road. And I drove slow and I got where I wanted to go. And this guy just could not figure out how to drive in the freaking snow. And it, like I said, it was only like 1.5 to 2 inches of snow. And this guy could not figure out how to drive. I did want to mention this. The bar that we shoot out of on Sunday nights is this place in Lake Stevens called Razzles. Great little bar, good food. Shout out to April, our waitress. She listens to the show. She always takes care of us.
Hi, April.
Hi.
Bring
Jason lots of Diet Cokes.
What was that?
Bring Jason a double Diet Cokes.
That's right.
And wait, now that I've been on the show, will she take care of me too?
She might. She might.
Just name drop a little. You know,
yeah,
Jason's
exactly.
You know, you heard me on the family meeting, right?
The only reason I bring this up, and it's kind of funny that we were talking about current events, because I don't watch the Jersey Shore, but I know about the Jersey Shore because of, like, the soup.
That's funny that everyone knows exactly what's going on Jersey Shore, but nobody watches it.
Watch the show.
It's the highest rated show on MTV, but nobody watches it. So
I watch it, I admit.
You watch.
John
but
got
you don't
me
know
watching
who Casey
it.
Anthony is. We. So
I know who the unit Snooki is.
I'm at Razzle's and this chick comes walking out and she's got the spray tan like Snooki. She's got the streak in her hair like she's. I was looking around for Ashton Kutcher. I thought I was being punked. I thought I was at Lake Stevens Shore, and she's screaming and yelling like all them stupid bitches on that show. And we had just finished playing pool on the table. So the tables were open because they opened them up for us. And she's like, the table's broken. And I said, no, they'll close it up. We're done. Just go ahead and grab the balls and put them on the top. She goes, well, that means I'm going to have to get down on my knees and grab balls. And I looked at her hands and she had her nails were all dead and she had long fingernails. And I'm like, if I say what's on my mind right now, this bitch is going to claw my eyes out. And I look over at my buddy. And he just looks at me and starts shaking his head because he was thinking the exact same thing. Like, I'm sure this isn't the first time you'd be on knees with balls. And a buddy of ours is from New Jersey. And he's sitting there the entire time and he doesn't. It doesn't even dawn on him what's going on. And Becca wrote down Lake Stevens Shore on a piece of paper and slid it over to him, and he started cracking up. And he looked over and he goes, "You know, I sat here for like the first 5 minutes these people were talking, and I thought, God, it just feels like I'm at home right now." and then he's like, "But wait, I'm in Washington." These people were just ridiculous, and it made me realize why I don't watch that goddamn show, because it just irritates the hell out of me watching people act stupid when they're drunk. No offense, John.
None taken.
I'm
an incredibly well-mannered drunk.
Whatever. You tried to kick our door down like a month and a half ago.
You threw Krista down in the middle of a bar and said, "Sniff my finger."
She did it.
That doesn't make it okay.
I was in a headlock. I didn't have a choice.
Did you have anything going on, Steve, that you wanted to mention?
In my life during
yeah.
the week?
Yeah.
Oh,
just,
man.
Just or just in general.
Just in general.
I wish I could regale you guys with all these great stories like you guys have. I'm just trying to survive as a college student. I got a car that's barely running. I got to keep it up on the hill just so I can get to school and back.
So make sure you go out and you buy Steve's book so he can afford to get a new car.
Right, please support your starving author/college student. No, one story was kind of funny that happened this last week. I live with my mother because I'm a college student. I'm not afraid to admit it. She's really close to the school. And about 2 o'clock at night, I hear two big bangs, bang, bang, right outside the house. And the neighbors been having all kinds of trouble with kids coming up. They set a bonfire in their front yard and ran off. And we had arson teams in the neighborhood and all that. So I hear these two big bangs, and the first thing that comes to my head is gunshots. Someone's out there with a gun shooting at the house. So I hop up, go up to my window to kind of peek out, and I hear my mom get up, stomp down the stairs, talking about gunshots, opens the door in her bathrobe, stomps out onto the street, and starts stomping down the sidewalk, trying to figure out who's shooting a gun.
It's silly white people.
I know. Can you believe that? I talked to her. I'm like, she tells me the next morning, she's like, "Did you hear the gunshots?" And I said, "I heard the booms. Why would you walk down the street when you hear gunshots? You're supposed to hide behind something heavy when you hear gunshots. What are you doing, Mom?"
She's like, I heard the gunshots, but I was hiding under my bed.
Right, exactly.
Like Chris Rock says, this shit is true. the shooting at the Tacoma Mall that happened like 4 years ago, my buddy Duquesne was there with his two white friends. Duquesne is black. His two white friends were there. They were in Nordstrom, and the gunman started shooting his gun off. So Duquesne just starts running for the door. He's body checking old ladies and shit. He's getting the hell up out of that place, right? He gets to the door and he runs out, and there's still people walking. He's like, "You don't want to go up in there. No, don't. Just stay away. Stay out." And he turns around. His two white friends are nowhere to be found. He's like, "What the hell is going on?" So he goes back in there, and they're walking into the mall to figure out what's going on. He's like, "You see a black man turning and running. I don't care. Just turn and run with him. There's some bad shit going down. You don't need to be there for it." But that shit is true. That's... Duquesne said you couldn't believe what happened.
So what you're saying is curiosity kills the white people?
Yes, very, very much.
Curiosity kills the white people.
Black guy, Chris Rock goes, "If I see a black guy running, I'm going to turn around, I'm going to run with him until he stops running. And when he stops, I'm going to catch my breath and ask him what the hell we were running for." Like, you don't even care why we're running. I'm running with him.
So what was your mom's excuse?
She didn't have an excuse. I think her matronly... overprotective nature just took over, and she wanted to get to the bottom of it and tell him to stop. She's pretty pissed off because of what's been going on with the neighbors, you know, with the bonfire, everyone waking up all the time. So I think her anger kind of got the best of her there.
I can picture your mom wanting to go bust some heads.
Yeah, me too.
We're going to go ahead and get back into the music. We've got Heidi Vlodka with Sophie right here on The Family Meeting.
Always looking in the direction that suits me. coffee, take the life from me. Her name is always Sophie. I made a mistake again. Always looking in the direction that suits me. I fell for your game again. Never realizing you're not what I need. Love, love, love. Love, 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 love. And the name is always Sophie. Yeah, the name is always Sophie. Sophie, take the life from me.
You love it. Welcome back to the family meeting. That was Heidi Vlodka with Sophie.
And now more random crap nobody cares about. The news with Krista.
Where'd three go?
She keeps doing that.
All right. And now for the news. Sad to say there is no Florida news on the itinerary this week. I know everybody out there, just be sad to yourselves. I don't care.
There has to be a lot of Florida news. We just have better ones.
I don't know if anybody can top Florida's news normally, but I collected these four, so we'll go with this.
I was watching SportsCenter the other day. Shocking, right?
Yeah, wow.
And there was a guy on SportsCenter, and on SportsCenter they show you like the biography of all the people, like even like football players will say like played in the NFL for 13 years, whatever.
Yeah.
And this guy, it said that he was a sports writer for like this such and such team, and he was the editor of the Palm Beach Post. Like that was his.
The Palm Beach Post is where I get a fair amount of my news.
I know, and that's like
that would have been like the most exciting job in journalism.
And this guy was on ESPN SportsCenter for the Palm Beach Post.
From it, he got away from the crazies in Florida to cover the crazies in sports.
I'm sure he was just dying to get out of Florida after putting that news together for any time at all. We'll start out in Salt Lake City. A woman made friends with her neighbors, and she was given a key for emergencies, because some of you nice, trusting people out there give your neighbors keys. The neighbors apparently kept a box of cash in their house. They would keep thousands of dollars at a time. So
I want to be their neighbor.
This Here's trustworthy
Here's
neighbor.
Here's the key. Make sure nobody steals my box of cash. it's right here in this closet.
In the box labeled cash.
This trustworthy neighbor went into her house using the key that they had given her and stole money from the box.
Big shock.
They noticed money missing twice, so they set up cameras, like hidden cameras, like teddy bear cams and stuff, and they saw the lady walk in their house wearing a big coat and a fake mustache, walk straight over the box, and stole their money. So it's reported that she got several thousand dollars the first time and $9,000 the second time. I wonder if she had a getaway car, because even putting on a disguise, walking from your door to their door, seems like it'd be kind of obvious.
She walked in two different times, and the second time she got $9,000? That's not a box of cash. I have a box of cash, okay, in my house.
You have a box of coins.
I might be able to go out and buy a half a tank of gas with my box of cash. And they have like $20,000 in their box of cash.
Savings account. That's not a box of cash. That's a savings account.
If you have $9,000, it shouldn't be a box of cash. It should be a safe of cash.
How much do you think she could have got if she went and dug up the yard? Because these people clearly don't believe in banks.
Well, she knows how. It's like she knew there were cameras. She walked in there with a fake mustache. Are you kidding me?
And a coat.
Well, I didn't think she was butt naked with a mustache on. It wouldn't be very much of a disguise.
Well, apparently neither was this. They recognized her through it.
I want to know why they didn't set up the cameras the first time they saw that there was cash missing.
Well, they probably blamed each other, and then they finally were like, all right, fine. I think you did it. It says they set cameras up. Maybe the husband and wife both set up a camera, try to get each other stealing the money.
It doesn't take CSI to figure out you give somebody a key and the shit starts disappearing. Who took the cash?
Oh, by the way, I have a big stack of cash in my closet. Please don't, please make sure you guard that with your life.
Yeah, I just want to know who tells their neighbor about the box of cash.
Yeah, it doesn't.
Well, how long do you think she spent like poking around in the house before she found a box of money? I'm sure it wasn't just right next to the front door.
Yeah, and I'm sure it wasn't like, here's the key to our house. Oh, and there's a box of cash in there.
I think it was just with dollar signs on the outside or something.
Exactly. Follow the trail of gold up to the house and follow. It goes right to the cash.
There was a note on the closet door. Please don't take this box of cash.
I
wouldn't have been able to take the cash. I mean, I wouldn't take it anyway. But just think about this. If you were a criminal like that and you were in this neighbor's house that just gave you a key to their house and then they're, here, we're going on vacation. Take this key. You go in there and you find this box of cash for like $15,000. You'd have to be looking around like, okay.
You know there's a camera somewhere.
This is a setup.
Right? Exactly.
I better go home and get my mustache and my big coat. Yeah, let me go.
I'll be back in a minute. Mountain Dew is being sued by a man who claims he found a dead mouse in his can when he opened it. Mountain Dew has a pretty good defense. They say that is impossible because their product would have dissolved that mouse long before he opened that can. It would have turned the bones to jelly in less than the 15 months since the can was sealed up. So before you get too disgusted, experts say your stomach can handle a lot of different acids as they pass through quickly enough that the drink won't harm your stomach. Your teeth, on the other hand, a completely different story.
I just don't even know where to go with this.
I can read this story because I don't like Mountain Dew anyway, but for you two.
I drink a lot of Mountain Dew.
Maybe you shouldn't.
I think if you mix it with vodka, it takes
all the rat droppings in there.
Yeah, it takes
think
all
the vodka kills the bad stuff.
Kills all the bad acids in there.
Well, I learned a long time ago because I worked at a flour mill for a while, and you
learn nobody wants to hear this story.
Yeah, you learn that they allow a certain amount
care, Johnny's
of stuff
gonna tell it.
In your food.
When they call stuff, they mean chopped up rats,
snakes,
and bugs,
rat droppings. So you learn that there's a certain amount of that stuff in your food, anyways, but. To think that an entire rat is dissolved in a can of soda, that's a lot of rat in a small amount of space.
I have a couple.
Not to get this story confused, they're not saying that, no, the rat was dissolved. They're saying the rat wasn't there.
I have a couple people I don't like, so if you come to my house and I have a bathtub full of Mountain Dew, just don't even worry about it. It's just 15 months later, just don't. It's
what is it, lime in an apple tree? What? There's something about dissolving the
bodies. Never trust a man with a pig farm or a bathtub full of Mountain Dew.
Yeah, <that's,
laughs> words to live by right there.
That is words to live by right there.
Okay, so on to Phoenix. A man in Phoenix just couldn't let go of his old ways. He's now in jail for stabbing his girlfriend, who is homeless and uses a walker to get around due to health issues. He stabbed her 16 times for disrespecting him. The article does not say what she did that was so disrespectful, but court records do show that this man stabbed her a month ago using the exact same knife.
I'm on this guy's side because if she's homeless, she's a booty call. She's not his girlfriend. Because if they were actually dating, she'd have a place to stay.
I think he was being nice to her by stabbing her 35 times. If he was mean, he
was
just
only 16 times. 16? First of all,
if he wanted to be mean, he should have just took her down in the city and stole her walker.
Well, I just think that he should have had the knife anymore. Like, if they know that he already stabbed someone with it, shouldn't it be evidence?
That's his bitch stabbing knife. That's his. He has that one dedicated. Bitch, you remember this knife? Yeah, that's his knife. You know this knife.
That's how he keeps her in line.
He probably keeps it on a necklace around his neck. Just don't make me use this.
And this is our top news story of the week. A 22-year-old Massachusetts man was arrested for drunk driving. His blood alcohol content was 3 times the legal limit. He was busted when he drove past an officer in the middle of a traffic stop. The officer was alerted that something was wrong due to all the noise the man's car made. It only had 3 tires on it. When questioned, the driver said the tire fell off when he was driving, but he couldn't remember when, where, or how it had happened. Officers found marijuana and other drug paraphernalia when they searched the car, so he's being held on charges of DUI and drug possession.
That guy was fucked up. I don't know what to say.
I was going to say, let's ask our resident drinker over here how many times, like how much would you have to drink before you could drive around 3 wheels like a tricycle and not know it?
I mean, I don't think alcohol could do that to you. You would have to, you'd have to be on some good shit and make that be like, yeah, I'm still rolling good here. Sparks everywhere. Full throttle, 25 miles an hour. Yes.
I got a buddy that listens to the show, so I'm going to put him on blast. He actually hit a curb, messed up. Like, he had his wheel underneath his car, and he kept driving, and he was hammered. And he drove past a cop, and the cop pulled him over, and he couldn't figure out why the cop was pulling him over. And he ended up getting a DUI, and he was one of those guys that spent the thousands of dollars to get out of it. But I've known people that have done stuff like that before, and couldn't figure out why they were getting pulled over.
If you
don't they feel any like rolling resistance or anything?
You would think so.
If you have ever heard a car driving by with one tire missing.
Yeah.
I mean, you hear it from blocks away. Like, what the hell? There's a tank coming down the road. I mean, three tires missing, just rolling on rims. That's incredible. I can't. How is it even still moving?
Yeah.
Doesn't make sense.
I do not know.
That's what the officer thought, too. So that guy got pulled over as well.
I think I need to stop that guy and talk to him for a moment.
He must have had four rim drive.
I wonder if the first guy got away because he had to go get the second guy.
All right. We're going to get back into the music. We've got the Juliets coming up next right here on The Family Meeting. Woo!
This is S. Arthur Martin, author of Holland Guard, and you're listening to The Family Meeting on NWCZradio.com.
Ready to play.
Welcome back to the family meeting. That was Riot and Rhythm with Pardon Me.
Make sure you hit us up on Facebook at the family meeting. Leave us any nasty comments you want
about any show on the station. We'll take anybody's comments. If there's another show you don't like, just tell us.
Yeah, tell us how much you like their show and how much you hate ours. I don't care. But I will message you back about it. I'm telling you that. I will get back to you. Hit me up on Twitter. My Twitter account is John. Oh man, my name on Twitter is John Curtis 316, and I put some pretty good pictures and stuff up there recently. So if you're not following, you're missing out.
My Twitter is Krista Curtis 1, which is Christa Curtis 1.
And my Twitter is Jason Curtis 925. Also, you can email us at thefamilymeeting@nwczradio.com. We want to mention, where can people get the book?
People can get my book, Hollengard, off of Amazon.com. You can also go to my website, sarthurmartin.com.
All right. And make sure you keep on listening. The Aquarium's coming up next, as well as the Northwest Metal Zone, right here on NWCZ Radio. Thanks, Steve, for stopping by.
Thank you for having me.
And hanging out with us. And we'll talk to you guys next Tuesday.
I think my voice is cracking because I'm sober.